going on? This is one half of Bad Influence Kazarian, and you're listening to Matt and Brindo's Wrestling Show.
That was the Best Coast Boogeyman. That was the International Incident. That was the main event, Merrymakers, Bad Influence, Christopher Daniels, Frankie Kazarian. You're listening to the show. Keep listening, everyone.
It's our time, we're taking over the prime time. And if you cross us, you're stepping over the fine line. But we can take this to the center of the ring. And when the bell dings, it's time to go. I'll hit the top rope while you're bleeding. No, slam you with a chair in the back of your head. Put you through a table, now you're thinking you're dead. As I climb the ladder and reclaim the belt, you're going home with a face full of welts. We came to win, or you better know it's Matt and Brendo's Wrestling Show.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of MBWS. I'm Brendan Creasy.
I'm Veronica Steele.
And we were just talking about the holiday weekend happened. And what'd you do?
I went to Disneyland all day.
Ooh.
Yeah, I made us, John and I, reservations for breakfast and for dinner.
Was it crowded?
So we were committed. Oh, yeah. It was crazy.
Well, yeah, Labor Day weekend, that's because that's like the end of the summer.
Yeah, all passes were open. So. Yeah. Yeah, but when you get there early when they open, you can get on a good amount of rides. And then you just drink beer as soon as it turns 11.
Nice.
At DCA, so
well,
we had a good game plan.
I witnessed a lot of people drinking beer this weekend at the American Legion Hall in Reseda.
Yes.
For the Battle of Los Angeles tournament. It was crazy.
I loved your pictures.
Yeah, I just was so into it. I didn't take as many pictures as I did last year just because I was like, you know, it's, you're, for one,
you're in the moment.
You're in the moment trying to experiencing things. And also it's really crammed in there and like getting my phone out. I just would like, especially on night two, because I was in the middle of this section and like anytime if I move my arm, I like elbowed the person next to me. So I was just trying to be pretty chill and all, And, you know, and again, it's all about, like, the experience for me.
Right.
And so I would take pictures. Like, last year I took I think maybe because I was at ringside, so I had more room. I took a lot of pictures last year. But this year I just didn't take as many, but it was so much fun. And it was crazy. All right,
the pictures you took, they counted, man.
Yeah.
I was impressed.
It was good. It was nuts. It was, again, like all these amazing wrestlers and these wrestlers, all of these guys will never be in the same building again, probably, because a bunch of them are going on to WWE or other things, especially by next year's Bola. It's just gonna, I think a lot of these guys will have moved on, but it was just amazing seeing, all these people meeting Jushin Thunder Liger, who I've been watching since I was 9 years old.
Liger. That was the costume I think I liked the most.
Well, he's like the all-time greatest costume. My favorite masked wrestler. And he's been doing it forever. He's 52 years old. He's a brain cancer survivor. Still wrestling. But he was smart. When he started, I mean, he was probably the all-time greatest junior heavyweight wrestler, cruiserweight, if you will. Like, he innovated a lot of the high flying that you see today in the ring.
Okay.
And then, like, in the 90s, when he was starting to get a little worn down, he kind of adapted his style a little bit. Unlike, cause a lot of these high flyers, like, a lot of his, sadly, a lot of his, like, peers are, like, I mean, some of them are paralyzed, some of them are dead, some of them are, and a lot of them, most of them, none of them are wrestling anymore, almost all of them, because when you wrestle that style, it tends to have a very short, shelf life.
Well, yeah.
And so he adapted his style probably, like, in the mid late 90s and kind of slowed it down a little bit. He still busts out the high risk maneuvers, just not like he saves them. And
cool.
And then there were certain moves that he kind of stopped doing, and that then because of that he is still wrestling pretty much full time today, and showing no signs of stopping.
And I loved his costume because it reminded me of a clash between Transformers and the Evil Queen from the Power Rangers.
Yeah, it's like a they definitely borrowed from those shows like the Super Sentai show, and then like Ultraman. And actually, because the Jushin Liger character, I think he had like, I don't know if it's still on, but I mean, it had multiple incarnations. I know there was a cartoon in Japan at some point and like a comic book. And I think at some point he actually like teamed up with Ultraman, like on TV.
Nice. And that's cool.
So like and it was cool getting to talk to him, and I bought his shirt, and it was freaking awesome. And I got my picture. And it's just, some people comment on some of my wrestling pictures where they're like, that's the joy. That's the face of pure joy, of Brendo joy. Like, it's like, I'm my super happy place.
Yes. You know?
My first WrestleMania pictures, when I went to WrestleMania 30, people were like, every, just looking at your pictures, you're so happy. And I'm like, I know, like, cause it's, I love, I don't know, it's just cool seeing these people that you have been watching for so long and then being there in person. It's a whole other thing. I mean, it's just.
Oh, totally.
And then in that room, there's something about that room. It's just very special, and they treat it very special. Like, and all the wrestlers are just so appreciative and so friendly. Like, I talked to a ton of wrestlers and just talking to the fans. There was the guy sitting next to me on night one flew from England.
Oh, to Reseda.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And yeah, and he, That's and he, crazy. Yeah, he'd never been to the States before.
Oh, well, he and, made a count.
Yeah. and, but he wanted to see it because he was there to follow some of the British wrestlers that like, I mean, these are like watching his hometown his guys. Beats. They dominated that tournament. So spoiler alert, if you're really worried, I mean, I don't understand so Marty Skrull, the villain, that's his name, the villain, won the tournament, and I mean, he's a British wrestler, he's freaking awesome, and he's been working his butt off, he's had an amazing year, and he won, and so there was a pretty big contingent of people from the UK. There was a guy from Scotland that I was in line with on night three, and the guy like flew from Scotland. It's crazy.
Wow.
And
that's awesome.
And then there was like some other guys from the UK that I talked to. There was a Japanese contingent. Like there were some people from Japan.
Wow.
One of them was Jushin Thunder Liger's wife, I think, but
she doesn't count.
But there was just so many people there. There was some celebrities there. The first night, Ron Funches, comedian.
He's
a huge wrestling fan. I've seen him at Lucha Underground shows before.
Oh, that's cool.
And he is a huge wrestling fan, but he's lost like 100 pounds.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
I want to look
and
up.
And so he's seen and he's it was this guy Jensen Karp, who does a podcast I listen to and who runs Gallery 1988 in Santa Monica, do what a cool art shows, and now he is writing for the James Corden show. He does the celebrity battle rap segments that they're doing, and it's actually. Yeah, yeah. So Jensen writes all those battle rap because he used to be a rapper. When he was awesome. In college, he wrote a really awesome book called Kanye West Owes Me $300. It's a really good book because Kanye West owes him $300 and he tells that story. And
I love it.
But he's also a big wrestling fan. He actually used to write for WWE.
Oh, okay.
In the late 2000s.
So my question is, because I'm not familiar with Bola, but are any of those wrestlers, do you think they're any of them are better than any of the WWE wrestlers?
Many would say absolutely yes.
And who?
Well,
like, who would you boot and who would you replace them with?
Well, I don't know if I would boot anybody from the WWE. Well, maybe, like, I don't know. Right now, like, I feel like, I used to say Ryback, but he's gone. So, I don't know who I would boot now. I'm pretty solid on most people. I even like Baron Corbin.
Okay.
So, but I don't know. Now that's a hard, who would you boot?
Who are you really just not feeling
at all?
Well, again, I've only seen her once, but the really big Samoan chick.
Not into Nia Jax. I guess they're not showing those on the Hulu because she's been doing the jobber matches.
Oh, really?
This week, you had on Raw, you had Braun Strowman destroy a guy, you had Nia Jax destroy a guy, and then surprisingly, and I was very impressed that they're doing this, Bo Dallas got a squash match. Like, they actually had him beat a guy.
Yeah, none of that was shown on the Hulu version.
They cut that down. But Bo Dallas actually looked pretty good out there, so I was impressed with him. But, all right, so take out Nia Jax. All right, let's just say I cut out Bo Dallas for now. Send him down to NXT, give him some seasoning, and immediately, right now, I would sign, if I could sign anybody on PWG right now, it'd probably be the Young Bucks as a tag team. Because they're the best tag team in the world, period. And they're amazing. But then you also got their top heel, Adam Cole, who WWE's kind of circled around at times, but there's a size issue, I guess. Some people think he's too skinny. But I'm not that guy. So maybe him, but probably right now, Zack Sabre Jr., who is in the Cruiserweight Classic tournament. And we've talked about, he's super skinny and bendy. The boy wizard of wrestling, as some call him. But there's so many of these guys. Like, you got Zack Sabre Jr., you got Trevor Lee, who's wrestling in TNA now, and he's awesome. And then you've got former WWE wrestler who, left on his own volition, Cody Rhodes, who was making his PWG debut, and one of his first matches in the indies was on Saturday, and he did great.
All right, cool.
But that was awesome seeing Cody, and I think he's gonna just do some awesome stuff. I guess he's already booked on some Ring of Honor dates. He's gonna be wrestling in Japan. He's gonna be doing it all, and I don't know where that's gonna take him, because I guess he was just kind of tired of what was going on in WWE, and he didn't want to be, I don't know, you kind of, I guess you missed Stardust. That was his character.
The name sounds familiar. Yeah. Like, maybe he was on.
Right around the time you kind of started watching.
Came into it.
He didn't want to be Stardust anymore. He wanted to be Cody Rhodes again, because that's who he is. And they wouldn't let him go back to being Cody Rhodes.
What is Paige's boyfriend again?
Alberto Del Rio.
Alberto, that's it.
Speaking of that, Paige, it sounds like Paige might not be coming back either.
At all?
It seems there's a lot of rumors going on right now, but it's not sounding good.
What?
It sounds like WWE is really not happy with her and her behavior and her attitude. And I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I hope she comes back, because I think Paige is great.
Do you think any of this has to do with Total Divas?
It's possible. I mean, I don't know if she's even on it this season, though.
Oh, okay.
I think that's part of the thing. Like, I don't know. Maybe she is, but the Total Divas already filmed
it. It kind of felt like, is this like a promo-ish? Like a little...
I don't know.
Because it's coming up. October 5th is when that starts. Yeah. And so some of the stuff happening, I'm like, God, I really wonder if this is a plug. Like,
I am really excited for this show.
I am too. Oh my gosh. And then I keep thinking my life is so sad when I'm really excited for the
I'm excited for that. And I'm excited for Total Bellas, except I think it's going to be super depressing because it covers the whole period where Daniel Bryan is like, is he going to come back to wrestle? Can he wrestle? Right. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to deal with that. We'll talk about that in a little bit.
Like reliving it.
Oh, but going back to Bola, it was just an amazing 3 nights. The highlights for me were, again, seeing the Young Bucks wrestle on all 3 nights because they're amazing and, they wrestle all over the world. They've been doing amazing in New Japan. So getting to see these guys, again, these are guys that are wrestling like in the freaking Tokyo Dome, 40,000 people. And then they come in this tiny building and it's amazing. And then again, I guess another guy I would sign immediately in WWE is Ricochet. And there's good odds that he is headed there. Because he's definitely not coming back to Lucha Underground. He hasn't been booking too many indie dates. So
where's he from?
He is been on the indie scene this whole time. He's from Kentucky.
Oh, okay.
And he's probably pound for pound the best. He's amazingly athletic. He's a great high flyer. He's a great technical wrestler. Cool. He's incredible. He wrestles in Lucha Underground as Prince Puma under a mask. But this season that starts tonight, season 3, is his last season on the show. So.
All right. Let's see where he goes.
So he had an amazing match, on night 3. He made it to the semifinals. And so him and Will Ospreay, this guy from the UK who I took my picture with, the handsome British dude. And if you look at my Facebook feed, or on Instagram, and they've had these amazing matches, series of matches. The first one was in Evolve in Dallas, WrestleMania weekend. And then they had the same match in New Japan during the Best of the Super Juniors tournament. And these matches just tore the house down. Like, videos from the New Japan match went viral. Like, it's just, these guys are just phenomenal, freaking amazing wrestlers. I posted some pictures and stuff of their matches in the Facebook group when they were happening. So if you go back, you can see. And so we got a rematch in the semifinals and Ospreay won, but it was Ospreay Ricochet again. They tore the house down and it was awesome.
Love it.
And then we also had the tag team, two guys from Lucha Underground, Phoenix and Pentagon Jr. If you will remember the guy with the skull face, Pentagon Jr., and his brother Phoenix, who, on the show, they're bitter rivals, but in real life, they're brothers and they're a tag team. And I never seen them tag team together before. And holy shit, they did some of the craziest shit I've ever seen. They did this one move where Phoenix used Pentagon Jr. as like a step stool. He got on it on his shoulders and then dove outside the ring. From on his show, it was nuts. They were just going all over the place. They were in a tag team match against Chris Hero and Tommy End that was fucking crazy. Tommy End is this dude from the Netherlands, but he's got like a British accent, so that's I think he's from all over the place, but he's from the that's where he lives in the Netherlands, and. Okay. He's a total badass. He's a dude I talked to you a little bit about ago where I'd heard that he was getting signed to NXT and he has like a full back tattoo of like a Japanese demon and he's freaking nuts and he's got this just crazy striking moves and he just beats the shit out of everybody. And that's, he definitely did that this weekend. Him and Zack Sabre Jr. had a phenomenal match. Their tournament match is just brutal. But him and Tommy and Chris Hero wrestled Phoenix and Pentagon. It was amazing. And then the next night, Phoenix and Pentagon wrestled the Young Bucks for the PWG tag titles. They ended up losing, but it was just a crazy match. The finish happened where the Young Bucks super kicked both of them 16 times in the face.
Whoa.
It was fucking crazy. And
was anyone bleeding?
No, the only blood that I saw was So Jack Gallagher, who I was really excited to see, he ended up having some visa problems or something. He's come from the UK, but he's been wrestling in the Cruiserweight Classic as well. And he, I was really excited to see him because he's like this old-timey wrestler kind of guy. He's like a little skinny. Think about Simon Gotch kind of, but like really skinny. Like, cause he's like this old timey carnival type guy. Like, he's got this like really like flippy mustache but he's awesome. And I was really looking forward to him, but then, so he couldn't come, but Tommaso Ciampa, who has been in NXT for a while, he made his last PWG appearance this weekend, and he came in to wrestle against, and he ended up wrestling Dalton Castle, who is also amazing. You would probably love him. He comes out of in the ring. He has two manservants called the Boys, and they have fans, and they like fan him, and he has this giant cape, and he does all these crazy poses. His nickname's the Peacock. And awesome. You should look him up. It's hilarious because he's in Ring of Honor and he just started doing PWG, and I think he's going to be huge. I think, like, he's getting big. He's going to be
cool.
Big. But,
very cool.
So he was wrestling Ciampa, and, something happened, and Ciampa ended up, getting smashed in the mouth and had to get 5 stitches.
Ugh.
Because he was bleeding a lot. So that happened. But, other than that, nothing too crazy.
Alright.
There was a lot of crazy flipping around the ring. I was glad I wasn't in the front row because they were just flying all over the place. A lot of like just really gnarly looking apron moves on the apron, smashing. I don't know. Just live wrestling is crazy.
Yeah. How long is the show?
Each show was like, the first night was like probably like almost 3 hours. Like the first two nights are like 2.5, 3 hours, and then the third night because like just the tournament matches is like 10 matches.
Okay.
Cause they have the quarterfinals, the semifinals, and the final match.
Okay.
And then they have matches in between rounds to like give the guys a little bit of time to rest. Cause if you're in the finals, you're wrestling 3 times in one night. That's fucking crazy.
That's a lot.
And this isn't like WWE, like commercial breaks and stalling and slowing things down. This is like freaking give it all you got. Bust, like, bell to bell.
Yeah, you're just going.
Yeah. That's where people are always, like, some WWE guys, when they go down to when they go back to the indies, or if they haven't, especially if they haven't been in the indies before, they find out that they can't hang, like, in that style, or it takes them a while to get used to.
The last night,
it was like 4 hours. It wasn't as long as last year, night 3 was like 6 hours.
Oh, gosh.
And it was like, I didn't get home till like 1:30 in the morning. It was crazy. So this was just the perfect amount. And I remembered to bring cash this time so I could eat tacos afterwards in the delicious taco truck they have. And, also got a shirt from, I told you I got one from Jushin Liger, but I also got a shirt from Will Ospreay. I was going to get one from Marty Scurll, but after he won the tournament, he was like mobbed. And
you need to take a picture of like all the shirts, like line them up.
I have a lot.
I know. I want to see all of them.
It's getting a little cramped. Yeah. But this weekend, I forgot to order the shirts I wanted to get from Pro Wrestling Tees, so I didn't order them because then they wouldn't have come in time because they have to print them on demand. But I went with my old standbys for my indie shows because I don't want to be that guy that's wearing WWE shirts.
Right.
To an indie show. People do it. But I just feel
did anyone wear a Roman Reigns shirt?
No, because that would just be, there were some John Cena shirts worn ironically.
Yes.
Well, Jensen wore one, and I don't think it was ironic at all because he's friends with John Cena.
Well, there you go.
But yeah, Jensen wrote John Cena's stuff for the ESPYs.
Okay.
So, yeah. But it was cool. Night one, I wore my Chris Hero shirt. Chris Hero is probably one of my favorite indie guys. He's awesome. He was in NXT for a bit, but he just couldn't get used to the style. Just didn't work out for him, which is a shame. And I guess they didn't like his look because he's a big guy.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, he's really turned it up since he got let go by WWE, which was like in 20, like that was like 3 years ago almost. So he's just really cranked it out in the indies. But so I have a shirt and then night two, since it's kind of encompassing all wrestling, it's not just a WWE shirt, and I wear my Cactus Jack shirt that I bought from Mick Foley himself.
Oh, that's cool.
And also Cactus Jack is one of his cool characters. He's one of,
yeah.
He has multiple characters. There's Mankind, then there's Dude Love, and then there's Cactus Jack. And so those are the three personas that he had. But, so I have my Cactus Jack shirt. And then night three, I wore my Chuck Taylor shirt because I knew he was going to wrestle night three.
Oh, cool.
And he's another indie wrestler that I'm a big fan of. And the shirt that I have is him and a wrestler named the Swamp Monster, who is an actual wrestling swamp monster. Nice. From he wrestles in a federation called Chikara, which has a lot more comic booky and goofy characters, such as said Swamp Monster.
Did you get any compliments on your shirt?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I got compliments, especially when you see people. I didn't, the Chris Hero shirt I saw other people wearing, but I didn't see anybody else wearing the other ones. And
that's cool.
It felt pretty cool.
Where'd you stay when you were there?
Last year I stayed in an extended stay in Chatsworth, so I still had to drive in each day, but it wasn't that far. But this year I got a room at there's a Howard Johnson like a block away from the Legion Hall
venue. Okay.
And so I stayed there and it was great.
Cool.
And I just walked. I didn't drive the whole
weekend. That's great.
I walked to when I went to get food and didn't have to drive around.
You got Fitbit or anything? Cause you like, when it comes to like WrestleMania and all that, you walk a lot.
A lot of walking.
You gotta count your steps, man.
Well, I usually have my DS, but I forgot it.
Does it do that?
Yes. It counts your steps and it gives you coins that you can use in games and stuff.
That's legit.
But it only gives you coins for 1,000 steps. And if you go over, I'm like, that's bullshit. Like, if you do.
Yeah.
Cause like Comic-Con, we'll do like 10,000, 13,000 steps easy. And I'm like, I should be getting coins for all of these steps.
Heck, Monday, I think I hit like 18,000 and John hit a little over 18,000 steps. I mean, yeah.
Walking a lot. I used to have one of the fitness tracker thing. But it did like gnarly stuff to my arm. Cause it's one of those ones you wear on your arm.
Yeah.
And it like, I don't know.
Not your wrist, but like your arm, like your upper arm?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It was a body media one. But I mean, it was really cool. It tracked everything. But it just, it like gave me like a weird like rash. And it said, and I even followed the directions. It said only wear it, you don't wear it like, you wear it 24/7,
yeah.
You take it off for like an hour or two a day. And I did that, and like I took it off when I showered and stuff, but I still like got a gnarly rash.
Do you wear a watch now?
No, I hate watches. I used to wear them. I used to wear watches, but I don't like it. I don't like the feeling of the watch on. I don't like it.
Yeah. No, I get that.
I feel like I'm like a weird, cause you know, there's always like kids that have like Luke for a long time had like a weird like skin thing where like he didn't like anything on his skin.
Okay.
Like I don't know what's like sensory type thing.
Yeah, you're going through like your little phase.
So maybe I'm having some weird sensory problem.
I remember having that with flip flops. Like when I first started wearing flip flops and I'm like, I do not like something between my toes. Like it was really annoying. And then all of a sudden I just didn't notice it anymore. I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
I get that. That's cool.
But, Bola was awesome.
Good. I'm glad.
I just want to make sure. I also wanted to mention another guy who's been wrestling in the Cruiserweight Classic, and a longtime WWE veteran, also trainer of Eva Marie, Brian Kendrick, made a surprise appearance on night three of Bola in the multi-man tag match.
Oh, that's cool. Was he the guy in Total Divas that was training
Yes.
there? Oh, cool. From Orange County.
And people went fucking crazy.
Love it.
Because, like, he just had, like, a match of the year candidate with Kota Ibushi in the Cruiserweight Classic quarterfinals. Like, I'll just real quick talk about that match. If you haven't watched it, go watch it right now. Anybody who's listening to this, because holy shit, I posted the highlights in the MBWS Facebook group, which you can get to by going to our website, mbwspod.com. Click that Facebook group link. Rate and review us on iTunes while you're at it, please. And contact us, because we want to hear from you.
Yeah,
use our contact form. And hit us up, because I know people are listening.
Because why not? That's why.
But, yeah, so that match between Ibushi and Kendrick was fucking crazy. And Kendrick did this move that's, like, banned in WWE. But I think Triple H must have let him do it. It's called the Burning Hammer. And you basically just drop a guy on his head. It's fucking crazy. It's this is popularized by this Japanese wrestler named Kenta Kobashi, who's like one of the most brutal wrestlers of all time. And like Kendrick fucking did a burning hammer, and Daniel Bryan and Mauro Ranallo legitimately were just like, holy crap. Like, and Brian Kendrick is, Daniel Bryan, one of Daniel Bryan's best friends in real life. They trained together. Like they came up in the business together. And so, like, Daniel Bryan is just kind of secret, like, hasn't really even been remotely partial in the Cruiserweight Classic. He's, like, cheering for Kendrick the whole time. And also, this is a big, because Kendrick's, like, 37 years old. Like, this is a big opportunity for him. But he's just been crushing it. And even though he lost to Ibushi, we did find out he is one of the wrestlers that's going to be coming to Raw in the Cruiserweight division when that starts. So also, speaking of the Cruiserweight division, at the Bola, they did a kind of a goodbye for, the guys that were not coming back. And those three guys this time around were Tommy End. So Tommy End is definitely going to NXT. Cedric Alexander, we already knew because he's in the Cruiserweight Classic, but he's going to be on Raw in the Cruiserweight division. And he's freaking awesome.
Cool.
And another guy who's going to be on Raw in the Cruiserweight division, Tommaso Ciampa, is going to be in there with Johnny Gargano, who's doing his farewell tour in the East Coast and Midwest. So that's why he wasn't at PWG, unfortunately.
Has anyone turned down WWE? Like, because they want to stay
on the
indie circuit and all that?
There's some people have. At certain points in their career, like AJ Styles did at one point in his career. Huh. Yeah. And some other guys, I think they've had to have made an off. They brought in Colt Cabana to like as like an announcer, but I think, but like I don't know. And then there's some other guys who just seem to not be interested.
Okay.
I think Kota Ibushi. He offered him a contract during the Cruiserweight Classic, and he turned it down because he still has stuff he wants to do in Japan. I don't know what that is, because he hasn't been wrestling any New Japan shows or anything, so I don't know what he's planning. I hope we get to see him in WWE, because I would love to see him like against Nakamura again in freaking WWE. That'd be nuts.
That'd be cool.
He's amazing. He's just amazing. Awesome. And he's probably going to win the Cruiserweight Classic, but we'll see. Because I would think maybe they would want the person that wins to be somebody they signed to the Cruiserweight division in Raw. So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it is going to be somebody like TJ Perkins, or because he's still in it and he's going to be on Raw. Because I would think that would give them the momentum and going into like actually like they can be like, here's the Cruiserweight Classic winner on Raw, you know?
Yeah.
But let's get over to things that you have been watching. Enough on me. So what were your thoughts this week in the world of the wild and crazy world of the WWE?
Well, I liked Raw more than SmackDown this week.
Really?
I don't know. I keep leaning towards Raw more and more.
I was more of a SmackDown guy myself this week. But, I mean, I liked them both. I love AJ Styles so much. He's my favorite thing in the world.
Well, right now. And I think Enzo and Cass are my favorite, so I'm like, anytime I can see them. So
and Bayley.
Bayley
crushed
it. That was so cool
this week.
I was so excited for that.
And
that was fun to watch.
Okay, let me ask you this. Were you thinking that Sasha was like about to say she was like gonna retire or something?
Yes.
She swerved us all.
For sure. Yeah. I thought she was going to be like,
I was freaking out. I'm like, oh no, this can't be happening.
I thought she probably was like busted for drugs and they were going to make her announce it. Like
something. But instead, she's wrestling Charlotte at the next pay-per-view, which is called Clash of Champions. That's the next Raw pay-per-view.
I do think she's injured. So I think they're just giving her a bit of a break to recover.
Because that's not happening till the end of the month.
Yeah, and so it kind of made it sound like you'll see her then, but until then it's going to be.
But she took out Dana Brooke.
Yeah, that was good.
Dana Brooke got slapped. She got slapped.
Yeah, she did.
I don't know.
It was awesome.
So what are some of the other
observations? I like that Bayley's costume looked like Iron Man.
Yeah.
Which cracks me up because Charlotte's costume in the past has looked like a Pokemon ball in her boobs. Like, so every time she comes down in her red little costume, I'm like, oh, here we go, Poke boobs. Catch them all. And so to have Bayley in red this time and she looked like Iron Man, it was just kind of cracked me up. It was awesome.
Yeah, she's so good. And she's just so...
She's so good and entertaining. They both... And I really felt like... I kind of knew that something was coming with them because Charlotte had been posting on her Instagram account some pictures
of
them.
Following the
I do
the
I do.
Like the meta stuff.
I know. Well, I like Charlotte's stuff. I'm very selective on who I follow, but I like Charlotte because her stuff is just positive, and a lot of times it's just her working out, which encourages me to work out.
She works out a lot.
So, yeah. And so I like that. I follow her and Becky Lynch.
I think she's contractually obligated to work out because of her tap out agreement. I don't know.
Like there you go.
And you got to be wearing a tap out shirt.
Yeah, right?
Well,
and do this and post at least once a day.
Like, I heard one of the things they did because, like, so one of their rules is, like, backstage, if you're not wrestling, you have to be either wearing wrestling gear. Like, you have to be in your gear or you have to be wearing, like, a suit. Like Vince is very big on like
the dress code.
But now that they co-own Tap Out and they're promoting it, they're like, you can also wear Tap Out gear. So that's why you'll see them in their Tap Out.
Well, and I was going to say, I've never seen a woman, obviously not in a suit, but like just even dressed up business. Like I've never seen a woman backstage dressed up.
I don't
like
know.
That.
Maybe they don't have to. Well, they usually are wearing their.
To be fair, the dudes have to wear suits. Nice anyway, but
because Cody Rhodes, I was really impressed. Cody Rhodes, I think he's very like that. I think that got instilled in him because the night one on PWG, even though he wasn't even wrestling, he was wearing a suit.
Yeah, I like that. I think it's cool. Yeah, it does look classy, and just gives a different aura of the show or something.
So what were your other Raw observations?
Well, speaking of costumes, it cracks me up because, so Sheamus comes on screen.
Ugh.
And, so the minute I see him, I'm like, I feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And so, and the feeling like struck me and I'm going, what the heck? And I realized his pale skin really gives me the heebie-jeebies. Like, he's too pale and it's too flawless. Like, it just creeps me out. Like, it's paste or something. And so, you know when, like, nails on a chalkboard, that feeling, that sensation, I get that whenever I see Sheamus. And it has nothing to do with his wrestling. It has everything to do with how he looks. So, I came to that realization this week. So, that was cool. And then, Cesaro, I'm I kind of feel like the costume mistress is like, yeah, you know what? Fuck it. Your costume's going to be duct tape. I don't know what to tell you. Like, they're just like fucking wrapping the guy up in duct tape all over the place. Cause, you know, he always has it over his shoulder. But then when I saw his back, I'm like, what? Yeah. What the hell is that?
They're like, really trying to show how injured he is. So that it's going to be that story. Cause I mean, obviously we're looking at like a, he's going to win the next four matches come from behind. Cause they had the fourth match. They was actually today in the UK tour, because they're over in the UK now.
Right. Yeah, we talked about that.
They had the match today, and he won. So he's just the comeback. Dark. The comeback is begun, which is a good story, and I think it's, you know, hopefully this will put Cesaro in line for at least a U.S. title shot, if not a world title shot, because it looks like we're going to freaking get Roman versus Kevin Owens. Like,
yes, we are.
But everybody's going to be cheering for Kevin Owens. Like, they need to just make Roman a bad guy. They need to just fucking do it, because we're not going to cheer for him. They are booing the shit out of him.
And isn't Kevin going against Seth as well?
Yeah.
That's coming up.
But, okay, so here's the other thing. Apparently at the Raw, after the show was over, Seth came and saved Roman from a Owens Jericho beatdown, but then Roman speared him. But I don't know. I mean, maybe they're testing out teaming them up as like a face, but I'm like, don't turn Seth good, turn Roman bad.
Yeah, just let it go. He's already there.
It's not happening, you guys. Like, it's not happening.
Stop forcing him on us.
But I mean, I love Owens and Jericho so much. They were so great. Oh yeah,
they were great.
This week. They were just so great.
And the crowd, the audience this week, they were feisty, man. Yeah. We had some loudmouth jerks in the audience.
Well, there's that one dude yelling at the New Day.
Yes. So, yeah, the whole New Day thing, I'm like,
are calling the Old Day skit one of the worst ages. Cause here's the thing, like.
Fire whoever wrote that.
Yeah, and Gallows and Anderson are capable of being funny, but I don't think that's what they should be doing with them. I think they need to be fucking monster badasses, and when they're doing dumb shit like that, I don't look at them like monster badasses. And going into this where they are gonna, they're heading into like a really, what should be a great clash with the New Day. And I'm just like, these guys are fucking chumps.
I don't know who signed off on that script, but that was just, it
was way too long.
And I was waiting for something to happen. I'm like, what the hell? And that was just embarrassing.
And it made the New Day look stupid.
So not the New Day. They are funny. Those guys are fun. Let them write their own skits.
Yeah, I don't know. It was.
Hand it over.
It was dumb. It was real dumb. Like,
but Enzo and Cass, man.
Oh yeah. They're great.
Oh, come on.
They're always great.
Caribbean timeshare.
Yeah.
Talking to the Puerto Rican.
Here's the thing though. Here's what I don't get with the Shining Stars. Like, like, we all know that, like, because I even heard some people chanting USA, and I'm like, you know, Puerto Rico is part of the USA, dumb shits. And I really like the Shining Stars as wrestlers. They're just, the whole gimmick is so goofy.
Yeah,
I like that they're kind of healing it up a little bit more, and I like that they got that win. I'm happy to see that. I'm happy to see it because they are really talented wrestlers. They've been in the WWE forever. They've never really done anything with them. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I think this is my first time really seeing them.
Well, before that, they were a tag team called, the Matador, Los Matadores. And even though they are from Puerto Rico, where there is no
bullfighting. I was gonna say, what?
The best part about Los Matadores is they had a little person, wrestler, wrestler.
Is he the Matador?
He was, El Torito, the little bull guy, and he was awesome. And now that they're not Los Matadores anymore, they got rid of El Torito. But, El Torito was a very well-known, mini wrestler, cause in Mexico, minis are a huge deal. Huge.
Yeah.
It's great.
Well, to be fair, like, minis, look at history. I mean, they've always been.
Well, in WWE, they're always a total joke.
Yeah.
And it's a little unfortunate.
I think that's an American thing. I don't think that's a, unfortunately. Well, I think it's kind of interesting to have the Puerto Ricans, especially with today's climate with politics.
Yeah.
Like, you may want to avoid that gimmick for a little
bit. Yeah, because it does seem kind of like, I think that's one of the last bastions of like old timey wrestling is like the xenophobic angles. Yeah. And it does kind of show the carniness of wrestling, and sometimes it's a little like, ugh, like, come on,
guys. I know, maybe.
Like, we're better than this, but it is one of those things that is always, and I feel like, especially when you're dealing with Vince, who's like the carny of all carnies.
Yeah, totally.
And so I don't know, I hope to see that, like, I mean, it's actually, that could develop into a better thing, you know?
Yeah, for reals. I thought, going back to Sasha, dude, it sounded like she had a speech impediment. Like, you know, when you bite your tongue and then you're kind of just talking, or when you're like half your tongue goes, like gets cramped or something. So you talk a little funny.
Yeah.
That's what she sounded like. I'm going,
I think she was trying to sound like emotional. I don't know. She has like this.
Well, it came off as a whisper, a tongue cramp. It was like just annoying me. I'm like, that, what is wrong with your, just talk. Like, what is wrong with you? It didn't sound normal. I don't know. That's my, how I took it. Whatever. And I also think it's interesting that they're like making Stephanie into not an enemy, but I don't know. They're like poking a lot at Stephanie lately.
Well, she's always been a heel character. Right. This is like the closest she's been to a non-heel character. And I kind of like what they're doing. I mean, like that whole thing with her and Mick, like that Mick Foley did a really amazing job. Cause sometimes like, cause he's great on the mic, but like his acting skills are actually really good. And I thought they conveyed a lot of emotion, and I'm like, oh no, I hope like Stephanie, I want to believe you. Like I really want to believe her. And I don't know where this thing is going. And the fact that Triple H was nowhere to be seen makes it even, I think they're drawing it out even more. And I'm like, oh, I want to know what's going to happen. Like, what the hell is going to happen?
And I think it's really interesting.
But I hope it doesn't just end up being Steph's like, oh, I'm evil and we're the authority and blah, blah, blah. I hope this leads to something a little bit more intriguing. I hope, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen.
As long as the writers who wrote Old Day stay out of it, I think there's hope. So.
That was really intense. But we'll see what happens with that. If she, I mean, I don't know. Again, Stephanie historically, like as Mick Foley said, like, why should I trust you? And I thought that was a good moment. So they're building. Oh, Kevin Owens destroyed your boy.
Yeah, I know. I won't talk about it. Sami Zayn, I still love you.
Oh, he's great. He's been doing an amazing job. Like, and I hope that it, I hope they get, I just don't want to see him get lost in the shuffle. And,
no, I don't either. That's what I get worried about.
We'll see what happens.
I don't know. They fight so well. Like,
oh my God.
I don't think they're going to let that go.
Oh my God. And
he's so great.
Like, they, like, I think they're saving the big rematch for like down the road. I mean, of course, because this is something we're gonna be watching Owens and Zayn for a long time, but I'm excited about that. That's great.
I would think that would be really funny seeing Kevin and Sammy really old and like doing something, but have it be them in makeup or something, and like that would be funny. And I could see them really playing off of it, trying to wrestle and like it not working. Like that would be funny, but the whole New Day thing did not work.
Yeah. So on the SmackDown side, we got a big women's match coming up.
Yeah.
And man, Becky Lynch, I really hope this is her moment.
I do too.
Cause she had a great promo.
Yeah.
And then, but Alexa Bliss was really great. Like just starting some shit.
I think
she's really distinguishing herself for me. Like that, I think she's.
Yeah, my issue with her though is that because she talks like a California girl, and that, it just I'm like, yeah, you're done. Like, yeah, but I live here, so
you're supposed to be annoyed.
I know. I'm not. She definitely does not beat Carmella. I want to hit Carmella in the face.
I do not like heel Carmella. I love Carmella in NXT. And I don't know what's happening with Carmella. It's weird that like now she's bad, but like I don't know. I don't know if that whole thing, if that whole shtick is going to work for her in the big time.
I mean, I guess it's good. It's evoking emotion from me. Like I really don't like her, but I'm pretty sure like even if I just saw her on the street, I'd probably punch her. Like I'm done. I'm done.
She's Bailey's best friend in real life, so I don't know.
Well, isn't she dating Big Cass?
She's dating Big Cass.
I do not need to get in that guy's face. So.
But I mean, I thought again, so I don't know. I mean, it could come down. Natalia was just talking some serious shit. And, you got Nikki Bella out there too. And I think she's doing a great job.
Yeah, I'm glad she's back.
Naomi's, you know, doing it. Yep. It was weird. Like, Muffin I don't Posse. Know. I was trying not to read in too much because like a bunch of, like they didn't even play some of the people's music. And I'm like,
yeah,
what is
when
going
they
on?
Came in. It was
at
just...
first, it was so weird at first that I thought that Alexa like missed her cue or something or came out too early. And then I'm like, oh, they're just doing this. Like this is supposed to be like a thing.
Ad hoc kind of thing. Yeah.
I get it. But at first I was like, did Alexa Bliss come out too soon? It was weird that they just kind of popped up. Like,
yeah, like, ta-da.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
But it was fine. It was good. I mean,
watching Natty, like, walk down the ramp, I'm looking at her costume, and I'm
Was she not wearing underwear?
Yeah, thank you! Okay, so I'm like, okay, Siri, don't wear what do you do when you're on your period? Like, is there built-in
What's going on?
Underwear?
That's what I wanted. I was thinking of the same thing. I'm like, what's going
know,
on down there?
Is there built-in underwear? Does it, like,
Cause the sides,
out so that's
she's got those,
all you have
or
to
are
wash?
Those sheer sides fake?
Yeah, that's I didn't even think about that, if they're fake.
But I'm like, I think they're real,
but
then
I don't
I'm like,
see, like
they're not, she's not wearing any underwear.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Then,
what's going on down there?
All I can think about is, I get that you can wear a tampon, awesome. But wearing a tampon, like, just out in the open in your costume.
That can't be comfortable.
Like, who's washing that costume?
Yeah. What's going on? What's going on with
right?
that?
Right? Yeah, so that's my question for the week is, Natty, how do you handle your costume when you're on your period? That's my question.
I don't know. It's just, I was just like, is that what's going on? I don't know.
And then, go ahead.
But my favorite thing about SmackDown is Heath Slater's kids at ringside.
That was fun.
Freaking awesome.
Yeah, it was like I was telling you, I was just watching a little video on WWE.com of him introducing his kids and the story and. It was awesome. That was very funny. They did not show that on Hulu, so you can get it there.
Because I was concerned. I'm like, what am I going to do? Because I really am rooting, and I think this is one of the reasons why they did this, is I was really behind Heath Slater and Rhino, but my favorite tag team in the SmackDown is definitely got to be American Alpha. And I figured those guys were going to be in the finals, and I'm like, I don't like that. So they, Usos, turned heel, although they already were getting booed because they were basically aligned with Roman Reigns before.
Right.
And so it wasn't as big of a shocking heel turn because, again, they're already getting booed. And but then they totally destroyed Chad Gable, you know, and now there's going to be the two teams that lost on SmackDown are going to wrestle each other at Backlash, and then the winner of that match will go on later in the night to face Heath Slater and Rhino in the finals for the SmackDown tag titles. So, I mean, on one hand, the Usos coming in strong, they're heels now. That kind of gives them a new, kind of freshens it up a bit, makes them look a little bit like it, not just, you know, kind of shines, puts a new shine on it. And I thought they did a good job with those promos, talking shit. And so I don't know. I mean, on one hand, you want Heath Slater to have a contract so he can provide for his children. But I also want to see if he doesn't win this match, what would happen next? I mean, I want to see sketches of like him and his kids on the street. I want to see him maybe coming back over to Raw and begging Stephanie and I almost want this free agent thing to continue.
Yeah.
But then on the other hand, I love him as a team and Rhino as a team. And I also would love to see what happens when he wins. But I think in the longer run that you need that heel Usos so that American Alpha has a strong opponent. And it'll be like a good feud and they can have like chase the Usos for the titles.
The longevity. Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. I think I would lean towards the Usos winning it all, but I also wouldn't be surprised because Heath Slater is so over. Heath Slater and Rhino are just getting, the crowd is behind them.
Yeah. And honestly, like either could win. I'd be happy. Like I'd be fine with it. So, yeah. Which makes it fun, I think.
But I would love.
I think that one son of Heath's who's wearing the overalls totally reminded me of that kid in the banjo movie.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, well, that's creepy. Get him with Bray Wyatt and we're done.
So, you know, The Miz and Daniel Bryan had another like really good or Daniel Bryan's like, you can either wrestle this match or I'll take that Intercontinental title away. And I'm like, what's happening here? What's happening here? Because, this week on ESPN, Daniel Bryan said, hey, I could totally wrestle again. And that makes me excited, but it also is like, oh, Daniel, I don't know. Like he had seizures, concussion related seizures. But then he's like, I got all these tests. These said, okay. But like, here's the thing. Like, there's so much we don't know about that shit that I'm like, why do you want to risk it? Like, what if you do like major damage and then when you're in like, cause he's like, I feel fine. I'm like, I'm sure Junior Seau felt fine when he was your age, Daniel. Mm. So like, I don't know. Not saying that they're exactly the same, but like, again, like there's so much they don't know about this shit.
Yeah. For sure.
That's scary, but I also, he's my favorite wrestler, like in the whole world. And so it's very like, oh my God. And like, are they doing this Miz stuff to kind of leave that door open? I don't know what's happening, but I think that's also like, it's compelling storytelling and they're doing a good job. And
yeah, I agree.
And again, like it's gotten me to be like, I'm going to watch the shit out of Total Bellas. Cause I want to know what's going on with Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
And I already was on board with Total Divas, especially since I'm all about Renee and Dean. I'm so excited. I am so excited for like Dean on the show. Like cause that one time that they were, when they were, did the couples thing, Dean was amazing. Yes. So I want more of that. I agree more of that. And also Rusev. Like I want to know what Rusev's like in like normal life or at least normal Total Divas life, which like I'm like, who knows? I'm really gonna miss TJ.
Like, yeah,
I can't believe they're not on the show. I'm really bummed, and I hope TJ's all right. I hope TJ's chilling at home with the cats, and he probably gets a phone call from Cesaro every day. I hope he's doing. I hope he's doing all right.
Me too. I like him
because. I mean, I don't know if he's going to wrestle again. It doesn't sound very good.
Or it could be a club for them.
Well, yeah. So let's see. So going to Backlash, you have The Miz and Dolph Ziggler for the Intercontinental title. Dolph Ziggler, even though he keeps losing these big matches, still getting those title shots. But he's,
I like him as an announcer. Cause
he's great. He's a great announcer.
I love him as an announcer.
Because I thought he did a great job of like, cause JBL just was talking so much about shit that had nothing to do with the match and Dolph Ziggler would be like, but then Ziggler did a great job like, hey, look at how great Apollo Crews is doing. He brought it back. I'm like, oh my God, we need like, oh, I hope maybe they, I don't know, like,
I know, I kind of feel like, are you testing him out?
Well, cause he's been doing commentary for a while. Like, he did commentary on like Main Event quite a bit. They're like one of their little B shows. And I don't know, we'll see. I think this is going to be a good match. They can both put on great matches. I don't know if Dolph is going to win cause I like The Miz as Intercontinental Champion. I want him to have that belt for a while and just like, I don't know.
Go with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like him.
So we'll see what happens. Maurice is still pretty, oh, like,
half man.
I thought that was really funny. I mean, it was a good way of the Miz as chicken shit having Maurice bring, like, go get the Intercontinental title in the ring. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
And then you have like two guys that didn't even wrestle this Thursday, Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt. I think I think this match is gonna be. I don't have high hopes.
I know.
Because Bray Wyatt's is pretty slow. You've seen him, and Randy Orton's pretty slow himself. the only thing that Randy Orton has is that RKO out of nowhere, and so that'll happen. But other than that, I don't know what's going to – I don't know. I don't really care about this match.
I'm not excited for it.
Okay, you got the Heath Slater and Rhino against either the Usos or the Hype Brothers in the finals of the tournament. I think the tag team tournament matches are going to be great.
I think it'll be fun.
And then that six-pack challenge, elimination styles. This match, in theory, could go for a long – this could be like a 45-minute match.
Jeez,
we'll see. I don't know. I mean, because it's an elimination match, and there's six people. But I don't know. I bet you Carmella and maybe Naomi go right away. I don't know. We'll see. I think it's gonna come down to like Nikki, Becky, and Natalia.
I think it's gonna come down to. I think they're gonna keep Carmella because they keep pushing her.
That's true.
Becky, Carmella, I think they're going to get rid of Nikki first.
You think so?
I think she'll be one of the first to go.
All right. We'll see. See what happens. I think Alexa is your dark horse in this match.
Yeah. I'm calling it. I think so too. I'll go with that.
But I want Becky to win so bad.
I do too. Oh, I really do.
She's the best.
I love her.
And then I am so excited for this match. And because there's so few matches on the card, I mean, okay, I'm pretty sure we're going to see Baron Corbin and Apollo Crews in some matches, probably, but they're not on the card as of right now. But you're looking at a lot of time for Dean Ambrose and AJ Styles.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to tear it down. I'm hoping.
Yeah.
For a big match. And I love Dean Ambrose, but I'm hoping for, I don't know. I think we probably won't get it. I think AJ Styles is going to be WWE World Heavyweight Champion. Maybe not this weekend. Maybe not on Sunday, but I'm hoping for it, but I'm not holding my breath.
So Backlash is this Sunday.
We are now entering a world of two pay-per-views a month.
This is crazy.
Yeah.
Which makes WWE Network so worth it now.
It's absolutely worth it. And they just added this new playlist of matches called WWE Hidden Gems. And they found like some matches that that people have only talked about that have never been released in video before. Some of them are like super old and like, I'm like, yeah, I'll watch some old wrestling and I'm not even shitting you. There's this match between this guy, Lou Thesz, is like one of the all time greatest wrestlers and some other dude in a best out of 2-3 falls match. And I knew going into it, cause like back in the day, the style of wrestling, like, I hope you like headlocks. It's pretty much all headlocks. And then like every once in a while, there'll be like there'll be a body slam. And it's crazy.
Where's Backlash this year?
I don't know. I don't even know.
It doesn't even say.
But let me tell you, during this Lou Thesz match, I fell asleep. Oh, I was trying to be a good fan because, you know, like, I like all wrestling and this is the history, and I fell asleep.
Yeah. Hey, man, it happens to the best of us.
There's another match on there that everybody's talking about that I'd heard about for years. It's called The Last Battle of Atlanta. They didn't tape this for TV, so I think it's from like somebody's camera, like a fan camera maybe. And it's this cage match between these two guys, Buzz Sawyer, who's like a proto Kevin Owens, just like a real tough brawler. And then
at first I thought you said Frodo. I'm like, oh, okay.
Proto.
Got it.
Proto. And then this guy, Tommy Rich, nicknamed Wildfire, who was, you know, this is Texas Southern wrestling. And it's in a cage. And the big thing about this match, the reason why I'd heard about it is because people were like, oh, the WWE Hell in a Cell, it's so innovative because it's a cage with a ceiling. This match was in 1982, and it was a cage with a ceiling.
Okay.
And so WWE did not come up with that.
Yeah, no.
And this match is one of the bloodiest matches I've ever seen. Both of the dudes bleed all over the place. Within a minute, Tommy Rich, and this is, he was kind of famous for this in his brawl matches, especially these old cage matches. Within a minute, Tommy Rich is just gushing blood.
Because
this is back in the, they're blading, like they are doing it the hard, they're doing it. They've taken the razor blades and slicing the themselves open, and it's gnarly. And then they just bleed all over the place, and then, but it was pretty, it lived up to the hype. It was pretty cool watching that. There's some other cool matches. There's a match I'm really excited to watch, they fixed up some footage from Florida Championship Wrestling and some of their other developmental territories. So there's one from Ultimate Pro Wrestling, which I actually went to one of their shows because they used to do them out in LA back in the early 2000s. And I saw a young Christopher Daniels, now Ring of Honor star, and he does one of our intros. But, but this match, it's between Samoa Joe and William Regal, who is the now one of the scouts for WWE developmental, and he's a great, one of the all-time great wrestlers. He was a PWG, so WWE is definitely scouting.
Yeah, they're out there.
But this
speaking
match
of scouting, you said that you came across an Instagram account.
Oh yeah, so let's do that. Let's talk about that since we are wrapping it up here. My Instagram for this week, since I wanted to give a shout out to our indie wrestling world, is. It's from Ricochet, and it's Ricochet's, URL is, it's King Ricochet on Instagram. So I will put that link out for you, Veronica. And he is dating a wrestler named Tessa Blanchard, who is the daughter. So you know who Ric Flair is, right? Now that you see Charlotte.
Yeah.
Ric Flair had one of his partners in the Four Horsemen, Tully Blanchard. So Tully Blanchard's daughter is a wrestler named Tessa Blanchard, and she's Ricochet's girlfriend. So there's lots of pictures of her and
seeing her ugly faces.
Yeah. But then you also see some pictures from Bola. And some of the awesome matches from Bola. You can also see some of his sick workout routines.
Wow.
And, got a lot of, again, more pictures from various indie shows. There's a picture of him with his son in the ring.
Yeah.
And
see
it's
that.
Adorable.
Cute.
See some other pictures from like Lucha Underground with Lucha Underground guys. But dude, look at this dude's abs. Look at this man's abs. They are crazy.
Isn't that like what we call abs on abs?
Dude, like, he's rocking like the 12 pack.
That's like freaking airbrushed.
He's got side,
give me
okay,
a break.
This dude has side abs.
Yeah. You didn't even know
like,
the abs
crazy
were there.
Side abs. But yeah, if you want to see some serious cool wrestling pictures, he's got some pictures if you keep going down on his European tour in Revolution Pro, some pictures of in Japan, and he was also at that crazy huge show in Santiago, Chile, where they had like 10,000 people there for the Young Bucks against the Hardys. There's a picture of him in Japan. I'm looking at a lion. He travels. That's why I like following wrestlers because they travel all over the world and you get to see all these cool pictures all over the world.
Very cool.
And he travels a lot with Sammy Callahan, who's a pretty funny guy. So there's some cool pics of
them. Dude, his abs are, that's
insane,
ridiculous.
Right?
Ridiculous.
Fucking nuts.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, I can't even, I'm sorry, sex would be painful. Like, oh, I'm sorry, your abs are hurting me. Like, I can't, it's too, I have to be on top. Like, I can't. Oh, man.
But yeah, there's that's some, but he's got, awesome. He's got a lot of cool pictures. Some cute kid pictures.
Very cool.
And.
Yeah. I like it.
He's one of my faves.
So there we go. Instagram of the week.
King
Ricochet.
And just shout outs. And I'm super excited for, tonight. the season 3 premiere of Lucha Underground. Look for me in the crowd. And I think starting in 2 weeks, not this week, not next week, the week after, you can see Benson and I in the little front row box for a couple episodes.
Sweet.
Because we went to those. And it was awesome. But, you know, so much awesome stuff going on. And we'll be back next week talking about Backlash, talking about whatever happens on Raw. And also tonight is the quarterfinal, the last quarterfinals of the Cruiserweight Classic. So I'll be watching that. So I'm going to go watch some wrestling.
All right.
And are you still doing your workout routines?
I am. My workout has changed a bit because I'm doing a challenge group.
Challenge group? What's that?
With Beachbody.
Oh.
And so I like Beachbody. No judgment. So basically it's you sign up to their app and you have to be invited to this thing. So you sign up with their app and you have to log 3 workouts a week and drink Shakeology 5 times a week and log all of that. And at the end, if you do that for 4 weeks consistently, you get money. They have like a $1.5 million pot and they're dividing it evenly among all the participants.
Wow.
And in fact, that number, their total number, I think it was going to come out today or tomorrow. And so, I figured, you know, even if it's like $5,
that's still a good motivation.
Yeah. So I was like, you know, I'm going to try it. So my walking on the treadmill has cut back a little bit because I'm doing like full blown workouts. So I do
doing like weights and stuff.
Well, I have like a weight workout coming my way. 21 day fix or something. Gotcha. I forget what it's called. That's coming. But in the meantime, I'm doing size.
Okay.
Which is with Shanti and dancing, which I really like. And it's hard. Man, you just sweat buckets after it. But my favorite is Turbo Fire with Shalene Johnson, and it's basically kickboxing.
Nice.
So I'm doing it and I'm like, oh, I could WWE the this. Like, it's fantastic. I'm punching and it's great. I love it. So I'm That's doing awesome. That right now. But again, like, all of this keeps me motivated. Like, watching WWE and seeing people in shape. You know how, like, when you're watching something and you see it over and over again? Like, one time when I first started Beachbody a while back, I lost about 10 pounds. I was super excited. I totally gained that back since then. But I lost 10 pounds my first round. And I was feeling really good and real confident. And I decided to do one of my workouts, like, facing a mirror so I could see myself. Because I'm like, yeah, I got this. And I'm watching. And I'm like, this sucks. Like, it was like, I do not look how I feel. So I'm going, yeah, I'm not going to watch myself anymore. So I learned that lesson.
I know, like, the bodybuilders are big into that. But that's definitely not my
that's
thing.
So not. No.
I'm just like, ugh. Like,
yeah, I just, like, you know, and we're our worst critics. Yeah. So, but yeah, so WWE has inspired me and keeps me motivated to keep working out because it's like, you know, I'm my own worst enemy and I'm the one who has stopped me from looking like that. There's no reason why I couldn't.
I don't need to look.
I don't need to have abs on abs by any means.
You don't have to have, you don't want that ricochet abs.
I really don't. And I want to keep my neck as much as possible. So I'm not huge on weightlifting, but right now I'm focusing on
don't want to get
cardio,
that Brock Lesnar
intervals.
Neck.
I really don't. Or the rhino neck.
The rhino.
I'm good.
Rhino is like, just like all like midsection. Like I feel like he's
rhino
just like,
is a
he's
rhino.
Like all
like,
torso.
For real.
He's
like,
just so like. Just,
I don't think I've seen a wrestler so well named. Before, like, they totally sum that up. Well, if I could go for like giraffe, that would be great.
Well, speaking of punching, just one last quick note. I forgot, I put this down at the bottom of my notes. So the CM Punk UFC fight is this weekend. It's finally happening. No more excuses, no more injuries. By Monday, we're going to know, like, is because it's either going to be, he's either going to win or he's going to. I mean, obviously, he's either going to win or he's going to lose. It's a stupid thing to say. But I mean, we're going to know if he can.
Hey, there could be a draw.
There could. But I mean, like, a lot of people think he's just going to get destroyed. And hopefully he'll prove him wrong because I am a huge CM Punk fan. And he's been training for this for the last 2 years now. And I hope he's happy because I miss, again, he's another one of my, losing him and Daniel Bryan in the span of like a couple years was just really devastating.
It really took a toll.
And so I want him to succeed because I've gotten over the fact that I don't think he's ever gonna come back to the WWE, especially with an ongoing lawsuit happening. And maybe way, way, way down the road because, of course, there's always gonna be that money coming, waiting for him if he comes back. But I don't think it's going to happen in the next probably 5 years.
Yeah.
But you never know in the WWE, but especially if he loses, who knows what's going to happen? Especially if he loses bad, which he could lose bad, but he also could win. I might watch a UFC fight this weekend. We'll see.
I love your summary. He could lose bad, but he could win.
Like, well, I want to be optimistic. It's like,
she could have a boy, but hey, it could be a girl.
It's true. Like, this is a lot of double speak here.
I love it.
It's like a politician. I'm learning from watching all the bullshit out there. But either way, we'll be back next week talking about it, talking about all this stuff, and we hope to hear from you. Go to mbwspod.com, hit that contact field. Also, we're on Twitter at mbwspodcast. We're on Facebook. You can watch us on YouTube at youtube.com/brendoman. I just realized I never plugged that, and maybe people didn't know about it. And, you know, rate and review, subscribe on iTunes, and tell your friends and all that stuff. And check out the rest of the Benview Network shows. BenviewNetwork.com, like my other shows, Popsicles and Radio Brendo Man. But there's other good shows on there. And you should check them out. Mandarin Orange Show with Phil and Janelle. And you got, if you're into comics, you got Comic Nerdy Night. If you're into Star Wars, you got Star Wars Nerdy Night. All that stuff. It's great.
You got choices.
And we thank you for choosing to listen to this show.
Yep.
So until next time. I'm Brendan Creasy.
I'm Veronica Steele.
And we'll see you next time in the ring.
It's our time, we're taking over the prime time. And if you cross us, you're stepping over the fine line. We can take this to the center of the ring. And when the bell dings, it's time to go. I'll hit the top rope while you're bleeding. No, sling you with a chair in the back of your head. Put you through a table, now you're thinking you're dead. As I climb the ladder and reclaim the belt, you're going home with a face full of welts. We came to win, well you better know. It's Matt and Brendo's wrestling show.
This podcast is a part of the Benview Network.
You can find this and other podcasts like it at BenviewNetwork.com.
Hello out there in Benview podcast land. My name is Josh and this is Jesse.
Hello.
And we happen to do a podcast about video games called the Extra Damage Cast.
Indeed we do.
If you like to talk about video games, or more accurately, listen to other people talk about video games, you should check out our podcast. It's at extradamage.com or on the Benview Network website, whatever that is. We'll be right back.